Why don't we sing the song one more time? Common faith.
This common faith of mine,
I'm gonna let it shine.
The Bible is God breathed.
Second Timothy,
one yet three.
Triune God is He.
We believe.
We believe.
He became a man. Jesus is his name. Christ died.
Christ died on the cross
for all of our sins.
According to
the word, tomb
couldn't keep him in.
We arose. He arose. He arose.
He was
now he's on the throne. Repent and believe, and you shall receive.
It's
coming back. Coming back for us.
Coming back for us.
We believe, we believe. Common faith.
Hallelujah for the common faith.
Amen.
Okay, now the title of this next session is a gospel workshop. We're going to have a workshop together. I'm just here as a fellow learner with you all. So there's no outline, but if you do look in your packets all the way in the back and the inserts, there should be something that looks like this. It says Christian beliefs and practices at the top. So you can pull that out. So a lot of the speaking will really be based off of this. So we'll have a little bit of fellowship on the common faith. And then hopefully there's some time at the end, we can have some more practical fellowship on the importance of first impressions. I know we're not supposed to shake hands, but we might have some demonstrations. Okay. But first, maybe before we begin, I know this is a training, so I'll call on Tim. How about Tim, how about you stand up? How about you flip over that paper so you don't, there we go. So this has happened to me a number of times. When someone knows you're a Christian, they just walk up to you and they say, I heard you're a Christian. Yep. What do you believe? Okay, so tell me what you believe. 30 seconds.
God is triune. He's uniquely one, yet he's three.
Yeah.
I believe the Bible is the word of God.
Amen.
Christ became a man.
That's
he lived
right.
A human life. He died on the cross. He resurrected and he ascended.
That's right.
And now he's the spirit in my spirit.
Amen. Wonderful. Well, you did really well. That's great. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Tim.
Is he coming back? Oh, yeah, and he's coming back.
And he's coming back. He's coming back. Does someone else want to try? Give it a shot. 30 seconds. It's okay. At least by the end of this session, I hope we can all present, everyone, each and every one of us can present what we believe. You know, actually, we're Christians. This is who we are. But sometimes I realize, you know, someone comes up to me and they say, what do you believe? And I realize, oh, Lord, you just all of a sudden it just disappears. You forget what you believe in. So it's helpful to speak it, to get into it, to speak it. We're going to have some time to practice. So this is just kind of, I would really say something along the lines of what Tim would say. But if someone were to ask me, I hold to the faith, which is common to all believers. Believe that the Bible is the word of God, inspired, written. It's the divine revelation, written word by, inspired word by word. Believe that God is one, yet he's triune. He's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And this God became a man. His name was Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for my sins, for your sins, for all our sins. But he not only died, he was buried, and then he resurrected from the dead.
Amen.
And then he was ascended. God made him Lord of all. And now, not by works, but by faith, when we repent and believe in him, we are regenerated.
Amen.
To become a member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And now today, Christ is coming back to receive all his believers to himself. Like a little, we all have a little elevator speeches. What are you studying? Okay, I'm studying this. Well, if you're a Christian, we should be able to present this is what I believe in. This is the one I believe in, and this is our common faith. Okay, so reasons why we need to know the common faith.
Yeah.
Well, there's four reasons, but I'll add a fifth. Number one, maybe because we don't know it. Okay, so that can be number one. We don't know the common faith, so we need to know the common faith because we get asked about this. Okay, so there's really, I wrote down 4 points, and the first one is that this will stabilize us in our Christian faith. If we know the common faith, and we'll touch on what this is, what it includes and especially what it doesn't include, this will not shake us in our Christian life. Especially on the campus, you run into so many things. There's a lot of hot button topics. People come up to you and maybe you're at a table or maybe they know you're a Christian, some of your friends. They want to find out a Christian's perspective on right to life or right to choose or evolution. A lot of these different things come up. Or even vegetarians, you know, I know this has come up, you know. Adam and Eve, you know, they didn't start eating meat until Genesis 9. So shouldn't all Christians be vegetarian? What do you think about this? What do you think, Kayla?
No.
Well, that's a genuine response. But actually, it doesn't matter. You're vegetarian or you only eat meat. We should still be able to have fellowship, right? Is that part of the faith?
Yeah.
It is?
No.
No, it's not. That's right. Whether you eat meat or not is not part of the common faith. This word common means pertaining or belonging equally to a whole community. So across the board, anybody who's a Christian, the common faith is it applies to each and every one. And we're going to touch on a lot of things that we may think are part of our common faith. And we would fight for, but actually we shouldn't. You know, they're not part of the common faith. Okay, so this is the first point. It stabilizes us in our Christian life and in our Christian faith. The second point is it helps us to live in oneness with all believers. This is a huge point. God desires us to be one. You look at John 17. This was one of the last things that he prayed for on the cross before he died, that they all may be one. This is what he's longing for on the earth. And even that we would have this kind of a registration, regardless of who someone else is, what background, where they're from, if they share the common faith, we are one. We're one. We're brothers and sisters. We can have fellowship. Jude 3 says, "Beloved, while using all diligence to write to you concerning our common salvation." Okay, so there's common faith, which is the common salvation. "I found it necessary to write to you and exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints." The faith has been delivered once for all. Nothing's going to change. It's there. It's set. It has been there forever, and it will be. That is the common faith, and this is what we contend for. We may have the thought, okay, earnestly contend for calling on the name of the Lord. So you meet another believer. You ask them, "Oh, do you call on the name of the Lord?" "What does that mean?" "Okay, well, you must not be a Christian because you don't call on the name of the Lord." When I learned growing up was calling on the Lord was to be a Christian. No, absolutely not. Or prayer reading. Or what about the Lord's table? Or is that part of our common faith? I don't know. Maybe I'm here preaching the gospel this morning. We all need to be saved afresh to realize what is a common faith. We have a lot of truths that the Lord has recovered, and we love and we appreciate and we treasure each one of these truths. I'm not belittling or you know, lowering any truth that we have and that we appreciate and that we enjoy. But the common faith is this matter of oneness with all believers. We can have fellowship with all believers. Okay. So I'm just going to read you two sentences that I had pulled from the ministry. Okay. "There is a strong natural tendency in all of us to insist that all believers be the same as we are." Okay, this is in each and every one of us. "If we require believers to either drop or adopt certain practices in order to be accepted by us, we are divisive. This exposes the very element of divisiveness rooted deep within our natural being." This is within each and every one of us. There's something within us it's just our natural self. And we just want other people just to be like we are, you know? If you're going to have fellowship with me, okay, I want to make sure that we meet at the same place, we can call on the Lord, we can pray together. But really, that's not the basis of our fellowship with other Christians. It's the common faith. Okay, so this is point number two. This helps us to live in oneness with all believers. Okay, point number three, why we need to know and appreciate the common faith is it in light of the judgment seat of Christ. This is from Romans 14:10. "But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God." You know, actually, this is a pretty serious point. In Romans 14 and 15, Paul is speaking to the ones there, and so they weren't receiving ones, you know, who ate differently, you know. He who is, if you look at it, he who is weak eats vegetables. You know, I know some of the brothers really like that point, you know. If you're weak, you eat vegetables, eat meat, you know. Okay, some ate certain things. Some other ones, they regarded certain things. They regarded the Sabbath. They regarded certain days. But the basis, even there, that Paul presents is God, if God has received them, and if Christ has received them, God and Christ has received them, we should also receive any believer according to the common faith. Actually, a lot of times, we're stricter than God is. We set a lot more regulations about who I can have fellowship with. And to God, it's just, if you hold to the common faith, you are a genuine believer. You're a genuine believer. And this can, if we just, I don't know, the Lord really needs to have mercy on us. Even before him, we could stand at the judgment seat and inwardly having the peace and realizing, you know, I was open to any believer, just to have fellowship, even just to have fellowship. So it's a really serious issue, because we can cut off fellowship with other people because we may not even be aware of the common faith or even what our common standing is. Okay, so that was the third point in light of the judgment seat. And the fourth point is, if we know the common faith, it helps us to preach the gospel.
Amen.
This is a gospel workshop.
Amen.
So here's the wire diagram, and we're going to go through it. Wonderful. Hallelujah for the gospel. Okay, so let's take a look at our sheet, Christian Beliefs and Practices. And I'm just going to read through. There's a circle in the middle, and the circle there encompasses our common faith. Now, everything outside of that is not part of our common faith. I'm going to read through them one by one. And even within, you might be in your chair thinking, wow, I thought that was part of our common faith. Well, okay, we're here to clarify this morning. This is our common faith, okay?
Amen.
So there's certain doctrines and teachings. The millennial kingdom. I don't have time to go into all of these, but eternal salvation. I think there might be a little typo. Sorry. Predestination. Regarding days. Someone wants to worship on Saturday or on Lord's Day. Does that not make them a believer? No, it's common faith. Okay. Eating. Drinking. You know, I meet with a student who grew up Seventh-day Adventist. But he's a genuine believer. Believed in the Lord. But he just chooses not to eat pork or to eat different things. We can still have fellowship. You know, it's okay. If you don't want to eat a hamburger, that's no problem. You know, we can still have fellowship. That shouldn't affect our fellowship, what you eat or what you drink. Okay, head covering. Whether or not, yeah. Okay, baptism. Baptism by sprinkling. Baptism by immersion. These are all wonderful truths that have been recovered, that we appreciate, that we treasure, and that we even live by, you know. But we don't push that on anyone. We're not there to push it on someone. We can't have fellowship unless you've been baptized in our baptismal. I don't know if you heard that before. That happens. It happens.
Yeah.
Okay, the Lord's table, the ground of the church, rapture. I know Hiram was speaking about the rapture. There's all sorts of different thoughts, pre-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture. When are you going to get it raptured? What do you believe? Can we have fellowship based on when we hope to get raptured? Okay, that's not part of our common faith. Okay, gifts, tongues. Whether you have you received, I don't know if anyone has ever asked you, have you received the second blessing? Do some of y'all know what the second blessing is? It's Pentecostal background about this matter of speaking in tongues. I've had that asked to me, and well, been blessed with the triune God. I speak Spanish, but you know. But you know, hold to the common faith. Okay. Healings. Do you have the gift of healings? Okay, Bible versions. Oh, Lord. Bible versions. Okay, we treasure the recovery version. The recovery version is awesome. If y'all, even yesterday afternoon, Sebastian and I were just fellowshipping about the prophecy or for the students, and we're getting into one of the footnotes, and I mean, I saw something I hadn't seen before about Hebrews 4:12. It was wonderful. I mean, we love the recovery version, and of course, it's wonderful. It helps us to grow. But just because someone reads the King James, that we can still have fellowship. The Bible is the Word of God. They believe that the Bible is the complete divine revelation. Doesn't matter what translation or what book it is. Okay, practices. Now this might be a hot topic with some of you all. Okay, calling on the Lord. pray reading, exercising our spirit. Wow. Oh, Lord. Wow. Okay. Foot washing. Practically or spiritually. Okay. Musical instruments. Now, I've heard of this before. Sometimes, you know, there's divisions. There's divisions among believers because some only want to use a piano and some only want to use a guitar. Or if you want to use a tambourine in our meeting, we cannot have fellowship with you. Huh? Or yeah, no music. Or we just have a choir. You know, it's all these different things come in. All these different things. Okay. Okay, so now we'll come to the common hallelujah for the common faith.
Amen.
So we just touched on a lot of different things that are not part of our common faith. But this is what is common to all believers. Amen. We can have fellowship with one another. And then we'll have some time as we go through. We'll have some time to practice, to speak to one another, these different points. Okay. And it's really something. In Jude 3, it mentions we contend for the faith. You know, this word contend means you're a combatant. We fight. We go to war for the faith. We go to war. We will fight for the faith. For everything else, for calling on the Lord, don't go to war. Don't argue. Don't, you know, flip over tables. You have to call on the Lord. It's okay. If they don't want to call on the Lord, it's no problem. You can still have fellowship. But for the faith, this is what we go to war. If someone doesn't believe that Jesus is God, now that's not only heretical, that's not right. We can fight for that. Okay. Common faith. Number one. How about we read number one all together? Okay, sorry, just to backtrack one point. It's just good to realize Titus 1:4 and Jude 3. These are good verses to have. Even these phrases from Titus 1:4. So actually, when we're practicing and when we're speaking this, speak the phrases. You don't have to give someone a whole message. You know, Titus 1:4 says, and you just begin from the beginning of the verse to the end of the verse. Just speak a phrase according to the common faith. Write that down. Titus 1:4. So the beginning portion of the verse says, to Titus, genuine child according to the common faith. But if you're speaking this to someone, according to Titus 1:4, I hold to the common faith, the faith which is common to all believers. Okay, now, 2 Timothy 3:16. Okay, I know there's a memory verse. Who can stand up and speak this to us?
2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed.
Okay, stop. Now say that again.
All scripture is God-breathed.
Okay, one more time.
All scripture is God-breathed.
Hallelujah. Wonderful. You can sit down. Okay, that's the phrase. All scripture is God-breathed. That's a wonderful phrase to associate there with 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture. You know, there are some Bibles that have the words of the Lord in red letters. Okay, are only the red letters there in those Bibles the Word of God? All scripture is God-breathed. Some hold to the Old Testament more than the New Testament. All scripture is God-breathed. This is what we believe. We believe that all scripture, that the Bible is a complete divine revelation, inspired word by word by God. What a gift. This is God's gift to us.
Amen.
I don't know how else to, you know, I believe it's someone that said along the lines, there's two gifts that the Lord has given to us. He gave us the Spirit, hallelujah, so God could actually be inside of us, and He gave us the Bible. You have the written Word of God, and this opens up, it's the only book you come to where you get the author. So you come to the Bible, you get the author himself. What a unique, what a gift. I hope we treasure the Bible. This is point number one. We love the Bible. You know where all these other points come from? That's right. They come from the Bible. So we need to know these verses, and we need to love our Bible. Okay. So we start, number one, with the Bible. There's also another verse reference, 2 Peter 1:21, which it speaks about men spoke from God while being born by the Holy Spirit. But for the purpose of keeping it simple, first point, speak it, and then all scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is God-breathed. Okay, point number two. Let's read this one all together.
God is uniquely one, yet triune, Father, Son, and Spirit.
God is uniquely one. Oh, I should be writing this on the board. Okay. Let me So how many of y'all have seen this before? The wire diagram. Okay, good. A lot of y'all. Okay, great. So we'll start with 2 Timothy 3:16. This is... Okay, what are the five words?
All Scripture is God-breathed.
All Scripture. Apologies for my handwriting. I'm a nurse. Okay. All Scripture is God-breathed. Okay. So who knows Matthew 28, 19? Let's actually all declare Matthew 28, 19 together.
Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Now who can tell me how we see the triune God in this verse? Brian. Uh-huh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Can we see the one God in this verse too?
That's right.
Where do we see that?
In the name.
That's right. Baptizing. That's right. Baptizing them into the name, singular name, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is it mysterious? Absolutely. Can we totally understand it? No, but that's what the Bible says. We go back to point number one. All Scripture is God-breathed. Okay. That's the point on triune, but God is uniquely one. This is from 1 Timothy 2:5. It says, for there is one God. Okay, write that down. For there is one God. So this is the second point. Hallelujah for the triune God. He's uniquely one, yet three. He's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God, and in Matthew 28:19, it says, baptizing them into the name there is singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our God is one, yet three. Okay, number three. Or how about y'all read this one together?
God was incarnated to be a man, Jesus Christ.
Who can say, let's all declare John 1:1 together. Okay, so the key phrase for John 1:1, the Word was God. Write that down. The Word was God. I'm telling you to write this down because in about 2 minutes, I'm going to have you speak it to one another. So you might want it written down. It's up to you. Okay, and then verse 14, the Word became flesh. So who was Jesus? Was he God or was he man? Yes, that's right. He was 100% God and he was 100% man. This is who Jesus is. Okay, I think this is a good point. Okay, I think this is a good point to stop. So how about we all stand up and to your neighbor, real brief as you speak it. It's just real brief. Use the phrases. Speak the point. If you can, do it without looking. If you need to look, that's okay. We'll take about a minute, maybe a minute, 2 minutes. So just speak these 3 points to your neighbor with a verse reference, okay? So just that, like a brief example, point one would be, sorry. 4 points. Also include the common faith, Titus 1:4. So if you were to say, I believe that the Bible is the complete divine revelation inspired word by word by God. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Simple. This is not rocket science. This is just our common faith. Okay, ready? Go. 2 minutes. Oh, Lord. Okay, let's come back together. Okay, I need one brother volunteer. Sebastian, all right. Okay, real quick, share with us.
Okay.
Come up here.
Yes.
Project. Preach. You're preaching the gospel. Good news. Telling everybody the good news. Okay.
Amen.
Tell us what you believe.
So I believe in Titus 1:4, according to the common faith. Amen. That God is uniquely one, triune. I see this in Matthew 28:19.
Okay, pause. Rewind. What do we start with first?
All scripture is God-breathed.
That's right.
Amen. I find this in 2 Timothy 3:16.
Yeah.
Amen. And then God is uniquely one, yet triune.
Amen.
1 Timothy 2:5, it says, there is one God.
Amen.
And it also says in Matthew 28:19, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Name is singular, yet there's three names.
Amen.
Uniquely one, yet
Amen.
Triune.
That's right.
Amen.
And then I believe God was incarnated to be a man, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In John 1:1, it says, and the Word was God.
Amen.
And then in John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh.
That's right.
Amen.
Jesus became a man, yet he was still God.
That's right.
Amen.
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 What about a sister? Volunteers. I can wait.
Crystal,
okay, great. Oh, you can, yeah.
I believe in the common faith.
That's right.
Which is mentioned in Titus 1:4, that we live according to the common faith.
That's right.
And the first faith is that all scripture is God-breathed. The Bible that we have is divinely inspired by God himself.
That's right.
In 2 Timothy 3:16.
That's right.
Yeah. And also that our God is one, is triune. He's one yet three.
Amen.
And we can see this in 1 Timothy 2:5. It says that there is only one God.
Right.
Amen.
In Matthew 28:19, it says that there we baptize into the name, the singular name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
He became Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We see this in John 1:14.
That's right.
The Word was God.
Amen.
And the Word became flesh.
Amen.
That's right.
You see that God became a man.
Amen.
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 Wonderful. Okay.
Could we just point out?
Yeah.
It's better not to say that he became Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because Jesus is eternal.
Yes.
Right? Because the Word,
that's right,
which is God, is eternal.
Amen.
That little trick. Yeah.
Amen. Did you all catch that? God became a man, and his name was Jesus Christ. The distinction. Okay. Point number four. Let's read it all together. So there's a number, I know you may have memorized Ephesians 1:7, but for this simplicity, we'll do 1 Corinthians 15:3, and I'll read it to you, and then I'll tell you the key phrase. Okay, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Very clear, okay?
Christ died for our sins.
Okay, so you write down that phrase. Christ died for our sins. Hallelujah. Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
Wonderful. Our sins have been washed away. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed. Okay, so this is what the Lord did on the cross. He died for our sins. Did it stop there? Did he just die? Okay, what's number five?
Christ resurrected from among the dead on the third day.
Hallelujah. He rose. He arose. He arose. 1 Corinthians 15:4. Okay? And that he was buried, and that he has been raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. Very clear, okay? He has, okay, the phrase is, he has been raised on the third day. So, we're on resurrection. Okay, he has been raised. Hallelujah, he has been raised. Amen. The purchase, his purchasing has been approved. God approved him in raising him from the dead. Marvelous. Okay, then he ascended. Right, let's read point six all together.
Christ ascended to the right hand of God to be the Lord of all.
It's wonderful. You know, as God, the Lord was the Lord. But as man, he was made Lord in his ascension. Okay, what verse tells us this?
Acts 1:9.
What about Acts 2:36? God has made him both Lord and Christ. Amen. This Jesus whom you have crucified, right? So Acts 1:9 speaks about he was lifted up. So Acts 1:9 says, and when he had said these things, while they were looking on, he was lifted up. Okay, those four words for Acts 1:9. He was lifted up, and a cloud took him away from their sight. Okay, and then we also have Acts 2:36, right? God has made him, hallelujah, him. This Jesus, both Lord and Christ. I know they drew a little seat up here. You know, when the Lord resurrected, he ascended. He sat down on the throne, at the right hand of the throne of God. And God made this Jesus Lord and Christ. He is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord. Why don't we declare that all together? Jesus is Lord. See, it's wonderful. Even as we're getting into it, this is the gospel. This is our common faith, but this is also our gospel. This is what we share with others. Okay. Point seven. So, I didn't write that. Okay, so this is Acts 1:9, correct? And what's the next verse we're using for here? And 2:36. So, we've gotten into the Bible. We've seen who God is. He became a man, died for us, buried, resurrected, ascended. But now, this salvation is applied to us. And a big point here, this is by faith, not by works. Amen?
Amen.
We believe and we were regenerated and we received God by faith, not by works, not by doing something, not by accomplishing something. Okay, so how about we read 7 all together? Acts 20:21, and I'll tell you the phrase, solemnly testifying both to Jews and to Greeks. Ready? Repentance unto God and faith in our Lord Jesus. Okay, I'll repeat that again. It's repentance unto God and faith in our Lord Jesus. This is a matter of repenting and faith, believing. And then John 3:3 is a wonderful verse, and just a little phrase here, unless one is born anew. When we're regenerated, we receive another life. We're born again. We're regenerated. You got another set of genes added into you. Those are the divine genes. This is what happened when we repented, when we believed in the Lord. And this is how all this process, everything that God did for us, is now applied to us as we believe, as we repent, and as we believe. Okay. So the last point is Christ is coming again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's coming again.
Amen.
He's going to receive all his believers to himself. And we'll use Acts 1:11 here. This is quite a verse. Okay. Who also said, I'll just read you the whole verse. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you beheld him going into heaven. So maybe the phrase there, this Jesus, ... will come in the same way. This Jesus will come. Okay, so I didn't write these. Okay, I can write them while we're practicing. So we have these five points, right? Christ died. Which verse?
1 Corinthians 15:3.
Okay, and what's the phrase that we can use from?
Christ died for our sins.
Amen. Okay, what's the next point? Amen. Okay, which verse proves this?
1 Corinthians 15:4.
Okay, what does that verse say? What's the phrase?
He has been raised on the third day.
Hallelujah, he has been raised. Okay, then the next one is Christ ascended. And which phrases from the verses will we use here? Lift it up. Amen. And 2:36, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Okay, then point seven is Acts 20:21, repentance unto God and faith. John 3:3, being born anew. And then point eight is Acts 1:11. Okay, so why don't we take maybe another 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, and we'll practice. Speak it to one another. Huh? Just the last five. You can stand up. Oh, Lord.
So bad at drawing.
Huh? Okay, I can try.
And then the reason why we know it's a common faith, that's another common question too, is that in Acts anyway, Peter in his time speaking.
Yeah, I probably won't touch it. Yeah.
What do you think? Should I do a volunteer or just have someone call someone out?
Maybe call someone out.
Okay.
Get a sister too. Like Annie or Alicia or Jesse.
Or Ashlyn. I can call my sister in law.
Yeah. What about Jeremy? Do you think he knows it?
Well, I don't know. I can check.
Ask him if he wants to go.
How comfortable do you feel with it?
I can do it.
Okay, all eight?
Yeah. Okay. Wait, all eight?
Okay, let's come back together. It's good to practice. It's really good to speak this to one another. As we speak it, we ourselves get infused with faith. Awesome. Okay, I think we're going to have Jeremy share all eight with us. Plus the common faith. Just come on and just share with us the gospel. Share with us what we believe. Can we use AV Brothers? Are they over there?
Okay, I believe in the common faith, referenced in Titus 1:4.
That's right.
That we all believe according to the common faith.
Amen.
I also believe that the Bible is the divine revelation inspired word by word by God.
Amen.
And this is found in 2 Timothy 3:16, which says that all scripture is God-breathed.
Amen.
I also believe that God was incarnated to be a man.
That's right.
God is uniquely one, yet triune.
Amen.
I also believe that. We can find this in 1 Timothy 2:5. I also believe that God was incarnated to be a man. He came down as the Word was God, and God came down to be a man. You can find this in John 1:1 and John 1:14, where it says God was became a man and tabernacled among us. I also believe... I believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins. I believe that he died and he rose again. And believing into him, I'm a regenerated believer and I'm part of the body of Christ. And we can find this in Acts 20:21.
John 3:3.
Wait, what?
John 3:3.
John 3:3 also says this.
And what is Christ doing?
Christ is coming again.
That's right.
Christ is coming again.
Hallelujah.
We can find this in 1 Thessalonians 2:19.
Amen.
That's what I believe.
Amen. Good. Oh, might need a little bit of practice, but it's good.
Did I just turn off?
No. Hallelujah for our common faith.
Amen.
So this is a faith common to all believers, and this is the basis upon which we can have fellowship with any believer. So even sometimes with other Christians or even other people, when I find out they're a Christian, I just ask, what do you believe? And then they just basically, a lot of times, they just go through the same thing, the same portion. And I've been asked the same thing. And even it's awesome to even testify, you know, in May 2004 was when, boom, and then I just get into all this. Because it really establishes a common ground among you and someone else. And there can just be fellowship. Okay, so we have a little less than 15 minutes left. And so now we're going to get practical in terms of our speaking to people. So it's wonderful to know our faith, even to be able to speak this, and not only in the way of to another believer, testifying who we are, where we come from, but also in the gospel. But we also need to learn how to be Jesusly human. We're not these holy, divine, floating, spiritual beings, you know, going around. We're human. You go to class, you study, you have friends. And this kind of applies more specifically to, actually it applies across the board, but okay, it applies across the board. Okay, so this is very intuitive. It's intuitive, but it doesn't mean that you actually do it, okay? So maybe I'll be speaking a lot of points, and you'll be like, oh, of course, yeah, of course you should shower, you know, duh. Of course you should brush your teeth, okay? And that's wonderful that you have the response, but it doesn't mean that we actually always do it, okay? So this is really important. So this is it for contacting people in a Jesusly human way. And I'd just like to reference briefly, I know that these two verses were brought up yesterday, Titus 3:4. What happened when we got saved? The kindness and the love to man of our Savior God appeared. Amen. Kindness became visible, right? Appeared means becomes visible. Not only visible spiritually, you realize, wow, God really loves me, but also like to your physical eyes in your skull. Matt became, the kindness of God visited me through Matt. Isn't that awesome? This is what you can actually do, and we're also ambassadors of Christ.
Amen.
This is who we are. Okay, and we are contacting the loneliest group of people in the U.S. This was shared with you, right, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Y'all remember this?
Yeah.
Who's the loneliest group of people?
College
students. You guys, kind of. I mean, your age, like the college students your age. And what are they seeking? They're seeking frequent, meaningful, in-person interaction. Wow, a secular definition of the church life. This is what we have. We have frequent, meaningful, in-person interaction. Wow, awesome. Okay, so what is the goal of our first contact with somebody?
Get to know them.
Oh, that's good, to get to know them. Okay, some more suggestions.
Ask
what their name is, okay. Anything else?
Care for them,
that's right, to meet. Meet with them again. That's exactly right. The goal of our first contact with someone is to have a second contact with someone. Okay? And this means that they want to have a second contact with you. You may want to have a second contact with them, but that doesn't mean that they want to have a second contact with you. They were kind to me. They were normal. They didn't smell bad. I mean, the foundation is really, I mean, there's a lot of, I'm just, for the sake of time, I'm going to share some really very practical matters. This is a workshop, okay? We're here to learn. Okay, so What someone is left with, even after our first contact, is how you made them feel. You know, actually, so these are some really astounding numbers. So 97% of our first impressions are nonverbal. Not even, so we just spoke about our common faith. This is what you would share to someone, which is wonderful. We don't demonize that at all. But 97% of a first impression is nonverbal. And it's formed in the first 7 seconds of when you meet somebody. So by the time you walk up to someone and you say, "Hi, my name is Eric from Harvard Christians on Campus," someone has already formed a first impression about me right off the bat. And it's three categories, okay? First thing is visual. There's three Vs, okay? There's the visual component, there's the vocal component, and then there's the verbal component. It's really how you are, not what you said. So you're walking up to a lonely 18-year-old who just wants someone, even in a sense, to be their friend and to speak with them. But each one will judge you based upon your verbal, your vocal, and visual, okay? Now you might say, "God's not a respecter of persons," you know, all this. Well, okay, that's true. God is not a respecter of persons, but people are respecter of persons, okay? And we're here to gain people. So if we want to contact people, we have to dress appropriately and consider some of these things. So, okay, so the first point is visual. So I just have, actually, sorry, before that, this is outwardly, but inwardly we also have to have the proper attitude, okay? To be genuinely interested in people. I know we had some fellowship on this week. To be confident. Even I wrote down this little prayer. Take a breather before you go out to speak to people. Just take a breather. Tell the Lord, "God loves man, and I love man too." Hallelujah. God loves man, and I love man too. Prepare yourself inwardly. And your handshake, even realize your handshake is a favor to somebody who's lonely. To shake their hand actually is a divine favor to them. Even to say, "Lord, grant me some divine appointments today as I go out and speak to people or as I walk into my calculus class." Okay, so the first point, visual. Straighten your posture. Straighten your posture. You walk up to somebody, you know, "Hey, you want to join my club? You want to read the Bible?" This is strange. It's so strange. Okay. Time. Okay, smile. That's all practice. Turn to your neighbor and just smile. Smile. Practice smiling. We're happy people. We're full of joy. We have a lot of reasons to be happy. Okay. Practice the smile. Okay, number three, look them in the eye. Look them in the eye. Now, there's a fine line here of looking someone in the eye. Okay. Here, Alan, how about you come up? So, you know, if I meet Alan, if I'm just, "Hey, you want to join our Bible study? We read the Gospel of John Tuesdays," you know. It's like, there's no interest, you know. I'm like watching them make snow cones in the distance. I don't know what's going on. But then, okay, so there's a disinterest. But then if you, "Hey, you want to come over for dinner later on today? What do you think?" You know, it's intimidating. You know, this is why you're not supposed to look a dog right in the eyes, because it's kind of intimidating. So there's a fine balance. Wait, come back here, Alan. I'm going to keep using you. So you know, there's a fine balance as you have a conversation. Then, you know, and kind of you go back and forth. Okay. Otherwise, you don't seem interested if you don't look. You don't seem interested. Okay, number four, shake hands. I know we just had some fellowship on shaking hands, so we'll come back to this point. Five, hygiene. Hygiene is there's a number of different ones. I don't have enough time for this. Hygiene. You know, it's really something. In John 13, the Lord, there's this principle of foot washing, which, of course, is not according to the common faith, okay? But it's like literally in those times they used to walk around, their feet would get all dirty, and their feet would actually frustrate the fellowship. You're all sitting down. I'm not sure if they had tables or different things. And you walk, I mean, Israel's a dirty place. It's like very dusty. So, you know, walk around with sandals on, then you sit down and you're trying to have fellowship. You know, I'm Peter and you're John. We're just trying to fellowship about something over dinner. And I just can't get over about how bad your smee felt. I mean, it's just like, it's just. So, I mean, there's the principle there where they wash each other's feet so they could have fellowship. Okay. So what does this mean? Shower means shower. Brothers, shower. This is mainly for the brothers. I think the sisters are usually better on this point. Brothers, shower. We're deodorant, okay? We're deodorant. Okay. Brush your teeth twice a day. In the morning, when you wake up, brush your teeth. I mean, even for general hygiene, that's also very good. Okay. I'm sure we all have had this experience. It's terrible to have a conversation with someone where their breath just smells terrible. They might be sharing something wonderful with you, but the only thing you can't get past is, man, I really wish I had an Altoid, you know, just like that's, you're just totally, totally distracted. You know, actually, when I was in college, I used to spend a lot of time with Brother Ken, and he would always have these Listerine packets, and I would always get one for some reason. You know, you know, you go down, have an appointment, here comes a Listerine. He just had them for some reason, you know? So it's good, carry around mints. This is just very practical, okay? You want to take care of your breath. If you eat, you know, onion rings or something, or fish, you know, fish, like, really smells not good for a long time, okay? So take a toothbrush, use some mints. I'm just going to preach the gospel and people are going to get saved. Well, sure, go for it, but consider some of these things. We're learning how to be Jesusly human with people. Okay, and it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about them, okay? We care for people. The Lord wants to gain increase. So this is on the visual aspect. On the vocal aspect, we're not even talking about verbal. This is more related to the tone of voice, the clarity of your speech, how loud you are. If you're having a conversation with someone and they keep telling you, "I can't hear you," you should speak louder. Okay? If they keep saying, "I can't hear you." Jesus became a man. He died on the cross. I can't hear you. He resurrected. Speak louder. But then also there's the other extreme. Praise the Lord, it's good to meet you. Did you know that the Bible is the word of God? Okay, then you're not on their level. You know, they're seeking, these ones are lonely and they're seeking someone to be on your level, and you are like beyond the third heavens. I don't know where you are, you know? You're just somewhere else, and no one can relate to you. So there's a proper balance. Smile. Okay. Okay, maybe we have about 3 minutes left. One more thing before we get to shaking hands. When having a conversation with people, this is just having conversations in general, try to find a common point of interest. And this is like a me too kind of point. What are you studying? Economics. Oh, me too. Wow, where are you from? Anaheim. Whoa, me too. You know, maybe you're not from Anaheim, but... Or maybe they say, "Oh, what are you studying? Rocket science." "Oh, wow! I know nothing about rocket science." You know, there's a kind of a common interest there. You know, and as you find these me too points, actually, someone really they warm up to you. I think I had shared some stories about this before, and even practically, as you're having a conversation with someone, when they introduce themselves, remember their name, and don't say the excuse, "I'm bad with names." Okay. The more you say that, the worse you will become with names. So a really helpful skill is when you hear their name, "Hey, Tim," and then you repeat it. You just use it. "Oh, Tim, where are you from?" And then you have a conversation. "Wow, what are you studying, Tim?" You know, just you use it again, and then it takes a couple of times, and eventually it'll be there. But it is the worst when someone says your name, you have a 10-minute conversation, and then you can't even remember what their name is. Oh, Lord. Okay. And then also ask open-ended questions. If you go down the yes-no kind of track, "Wow, it's really hot outside, huh?" You know, "Yeah." This happens with people. "Are you enjoying your orientation?" "No." "What are you supposed to say?" There's some open-ended questions are, "Tell me more." This is pretty open-ended, you know. Or, how did you get interested in that?" "Wow, you're studying zoology. Oh, how did you get interested in that?" The third question is a little bit deeper. It says, how does that make you feel?" It's like a little bit more deeper. Okay. All right, let's do a little hand shaking demonstration. Okay, Alan, come on. And then we'll end with this. So this is actually really important. Even just for a job interview, for all these different things, we need to learn how to shake hands properly. Okay. So there's a whole list of how to shake hands. I'm sure you may never have thought about this. Okay. A good handshake instills confidence, trustworthiness, and can make or break a deal. It leaves a lasting impression. It's really true. And I know it's because I feel like there's not too many good handshakers around. I don't know what happened to y'all. Okay. All right. So to shake someone's hand, you reach forward with your right hand. Now, really practically, it's hot, so let's say you're outside and maybe you're drinking a soda with your right hand, and then you're about to meet someone, you transfer to your left hand, and you go for a handshake, and it's just cold and wet, and just the other person's like, oh, what is like? Okay, terrible first impression right off the bat. So yeah. If you're thinking about it, maybe keep cold drinks in your left hand. Okay, just stop. So your right hand should be open, perpendicular to the floor, perpendicular. Thumb up, okay? Thumb up. Otherwise, like, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, you're coming in like this. You're going for, like, the, what's up, bro? You know? Like, that's okay, maybe with brothers you know, but if you're on the gospel with someone, you're not going, hey, yeah, it's been a long time, you know? Yeah. It's like, you don't know, you're going high, you're going low. It's just like, which way, where's the plane going? Okay. So thumb up, exposed palm. All right, everybody do this. We're all here. It's a workshop. Okay. Now this part, if you look, this is called the web of your hand, okay? And the goal, you know what the goal is? It's web to web, okay? Remember that. Repeat that after me.
Web to web.
In a handshake, it's web to web. So you go in, perpendicular, thumb up. I'm sorry, maybe y'all can't see. Okay, so when you go in, web to web. Okay, he didn't close it. So I can keep reading the instructions. Okay, so web to web, you give a firm squeeze. And you can maybe pump once or twice and then let go, okay? And I'll give some examples. Sorry, I know we're out of time. You don't want to linger. Okay, let's just, ready? Okay, so you just web to web and you just give them a good squeeze and that's it. Okay. There's different, I just wrote down, these are just classic. Okay, so where are they? Okay, if you go too early, you force them into the princess, okay? This is the princess. When you go in and you grab their hand, it's like, what are you going to do? Oh, are you going to kiss his hand? Terrible, okay? If you're too strong, it's like the strong man. You go in, you're just like, bow to me. Terrible, okay? These are all things that just, the whole conversation has just begun on the wrong foot. Okay. Eager beaver is, when someone, like, your hand is down there, and, like, you leave your hand down there, and I'm just walking up to you, and you're like, looking for their hand, you know? They're not even ready. You're just like, oh, let me shake your hand. And usually by that time, they're not ready. There's no web to web. No web to web. Okay. And maybe the last one will be late hanger is when you go in, you have a good handshake, strong. Okay, that was a dead fish. So Alan gave me a dead fish. So the dead fish is you go in and just everyone's like, that's terrible. Yeah. Okay, so you go in, web to web, good handshake, and you just, it's just so good to... So good to see you today, I hope you can join our club. What? Are you a freshman? That's the late, way too long. Okay. I wish we could practice. We need to practice this. Okay, I'm done. Sorry. Sorry, brothers. But what happens if someone gives you a fish?
You guys know what the dead fish is? Yeah. What do you mention?
Yeah. The dead fish is kind of like a limp little thing. Don't do that. So, the thing is, if someone does that to you, it's okay. They didn't have this workshop, but now you all are accountable. Okay? So it's really on us. It's for the sake of contacting people, of having a way to even speak something to them, taking an interest. So this is really important. If you want to practice, I recommend practicing. I wish we could have some time to demonstrate and to practice and even to have...
Do it with your neighbor right now.
Okay, do it with your neighbor. Give him a good handshake. Okay. And make sure you wash your hands. Hold on. Come back. Make sure you wash your hands before lunch, okay?
Okay. I know I mentioned avoid seeking hands,